It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Are you hearing that? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not yours, His. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That would be considered what we're living through right now. You could say, I can stand in this troublesome time where the whole world is shutting down. I can stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now, I want to say something to you before I get started. We're going to do the Lord's Supper at the end of this, so you can go ahead and whatever you got, tea, crackers, water, whatever. I would like for your whole family to take the Lord's Supper together. Now, do you understand that we're not putting on the armor for nothing? This ain't a parade. This ain't a show. This is not, this life that we're living in some kind of decorative Mardi Gras parade. He says put on the whole armor of God because you're going to have to fight sometimes. This armor that we have, you got to put it on. And not only you got to put it on, if you're going to win, you got to trust it. You got to stand in it and fight against the devil that's trying to get you to fear, that's trying to get you to misunderstand, that's trying to get you to hoard and be selfish and all those things. That's trying to get you to give up and quit and worry when God says be anxious for nothing. Well, to do that, you're going to have to stand in your armor and tell the devil no and trust who you are. Do you understand? We're not putting this on for nothing. Sometimes life brings you a fight. I'm going to say that one more time for all you at home there saying, what did he just say? Sometimes life brings you a fight. Sometimes our enemy brings you a fight. Sometimes it just happens. Do you understand that you're going to have to fight to win? You can't call me, you can't call the prayer warriors, Pastor Dan or Sister Amy or whatever. Sometimes you got to stand up and fight in your own. You got to stand up and understand what you're doing, because if you don't fight, you will be neutralized. I'm going to say that again. You'll be neutralized. You'll be a non-participant, which the Bible says that the gates of hell are not going to cannot stand against the body of Christ. So for hell to win, we just have to be neutralized. One man said, for evil to do well, good men have to do nothing. Do you understand that that's exactly? Now, there's an example. I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, I encourage you to read it to your family. Read it to them. This is an example of Satan's attack. It's a great example. It's familiar, but familiarity does not take the power away from it. David and Goliath. Goliath is an example of a demonic intimidation. He came out for 40 days. I mean, can you imagine your neighbor coming out every day for 40 days hollering across the fence? Hey, when you gonna clean up that yard? We are William kids. You're hollering at you. Satan loves to intimidate. He wants you to feel, and one of his biggest things is, why do you think that Goliath kept challenging them? Send out one guy. Send out one guy to fight me. Because one of his biggest ploys is to make you feel like you're all alone. To make you feel like you got to fight all by yourself. That was one of the things I told a person at the My wife told me to stop picking on women, so I'm not going to say a lady. But it was a lady, but I'll call him a person now. He had all this toilet paper, and I said, look, save from somebody else. I'll bring you a roll of toilet paper if you... I mean, you ain't got no friends. See, that's part of being a church. We need to understand that Satan wants you to feel like you're all alone, that you got... Nobody else is going to take care of me. I better take care of myself. Do you understand that fear neutralizes the church? It neutralizes us. We refuse to fight. Well, I'm just going to go along with the crowd. And the gates of hell stand. We cannot be afraid of a fight when it comes to us. We cannot be afraid of a virus that Jesus Christ says he has defeated. Everybody say amen at home. We should not be afraid. Do you understand that Goliath used mental and emotional threats. He appeals to the flesh. Satan appeals to your flesh. You're all alone. Just try to walk it out and see what happens. Can you hear the devil? You're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. I won't have enough. I'm not going to make it. How am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? He appeals to our flesh to get us neutralized in fear, to get us down in fear. When God says, I will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. God's going to take care of us. Sometimes I just want to say this, obedience. You need to walk in obedience, but it still ends up in a fight. You still end up with a giant in front of you. You still end up with, he was obeying his father, and he ended up with a giant in front of him. David was also obeying his faith. When he got offended, see, the rest of them were looking at Goliath. But David responded out of his faith. That's what I'm looking for people to start doing. Responding out of your faith. I have a friend of mine who said he went to all his neighbors, gave him his cell phone number and said, if you need anything, call me. He said his neighbors he'd been able to pray with them. They burst into tears and all that. I'm looking for people to respond in faith. David, the intimidation was the same that everybody else said, except David. He responded out of his faith. Do you understand that obedience gives you historical records to draw from? I've obeyed God before, and look what happened. I killed the bear and the lion. I obeyed my father before. I was obedient. And God, I tithe, and God has always taken care of me. He has always provided for me. I mean, God, over and over, obedience gives you something to draw on. It gives you something to look back on. Obedience helps you stand. When you stand, I want you to hear this now. When you stand in obedience, you stand in someone else's strength. Everybody at home say amen. That's good. When I stand in God, if I'm obeying God and I'm following God and I'm obeying him, do you understand that I am standing in somebody else's strength? He told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. And then I'm standing in the Lord's strength. It's not my battle. The results are not up to me. The results are up to the Lord. I'm just going to be obedient. I'm standing in God Almighty's strength when I do that. That's why we obey. Because we can say, God, this is your deal. This is your deal. Now, what separated David from others? What separated him? Number one. Take this down. Write it down. It's huge. He recognized who the battle was with. He recognized it. Verse 26, He told, he got personal. Listen, when the devil challenges you, you need to take it personally. Don't take it personally what people say. Take what the devil says personally. David looked at him and said, who is this, in verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine challenging the armies of the Lord God? I mean, he got personal, called him uncircumcised. I mean, that's as personal as it gets. And then he said, he didn't say it's me. He realized the battle is God versus the devil, not me versus the devil. Who is this guy challenging the armies of the living God? Verse 45, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He understood, look, if you're going to win this battle, you can't fix it yourself. But if you come in the name of the Lord, I'm going to stand in God's word. I'm going to stand in what God says. I'm going to stand in His righteousness. I am the righteousness of Christ if I am saved. Well, I'm going to stand in that. It's His battle. Whatever I go, what's going to happen next week? I don't know. I mean, when the donut shop closes down, I'm shutting down. Everything's shutting down then. But do you understand? I mean, as long as we get Boo Bell, we're going to make it. But do you understand? I don't know what the battle, but I know the God who has already seen the future, who already knows. God is not shook. So I'm standing. I've got to recognize this battle. Hey, look, I'm God's kid. He made a covenant with me. So now, you know what that means back in that day? That means my enemies are now His enemies. So Satan, you're going to have to take it up with Daddy. You're going to have to take that up with Daddy. Even when I remember a story, and my dad was one of those that believed every little boy ought to have a BB gun before they should. Like 5 years old, he gave me a BB gun. Well, 5 year old shouldn't have a BB gun, but he gave it to me, and I promptly kept trying to shoot out the guy across the street. He had one of those booger lights, we call them, that the power company puts in. And I was trying to shoot out his thing. And then I realized I kept hitting it. And it's bouncing on. And I realized it had a plastic thing around it. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to get that. And so I got right up under it. Because the plastic thing wasn't under it. And I shot that bull about. And, of course, glass covered it. I ran back. Well, some busybody in the neighborhood saw me and called the man across the street. Well, we're sitting there eating dinner. And the guy calls. And he wasn't a... The reason I wanted to shoot his lights out because he was not a nice guy. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying... He was one that would cuss little children, you know, and stuff like that. And so I said, well, I'm going to fix him. I'm going to shoot his booger light out. And so he calls and he starts hollering. I can hear him on the phone. And my dad looks at me and I went, oh, man. But then he started attacking me, saying what he was going to do to me. And my dad stood up. He was a big man. And when I was five, he was gargantuan. And he stood up and said, I tell you what, why don't you come on over right now? I'll meet you out in the front yard myself, and we'll settle that, me and you. I mean, he got to hollering at this guy, and this guy threatened me. I stood up behind Daddy and went, yeah, that's right. That's right, my dad. Don't mess with my dad. You know, do you understand? I've got a dad that made a covenant with me. No matter what comes, he is going to stand with me. Man, rejoice in that fact. That's what separated David. He knew he wasn't fighting the battle. It was God fighting for him. I am the righteousness of Christ. What else separated David? He had a heavenly perspective. He wasn't looking at the natural. This guy was about 400 pounds. His armor, he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. His armor weighed about 300 pounds, they speculate. All of his armor. I mean, this was and here David was a 13, 14 year old boy. See, the problem with us is we keep looking at the natural. We keep looking at, he wasn't looking at the natural. He knew his God, and just as important, he knew who wasn't. That dude out there ain't my God. He ain't my God. That virus is not my God. That job is not my provider. They're not my God. All those things, they're not my God. Do you understand? He understand that this is not my home. This is not where I'm staying, but you are not my God. I'm not going to bow to you. I'm not going to look at how powerful or how awful things are. I'm ready for people to bring a little joy into Walmart. Bring a little peace with you. He did not listen to why you should not. There will always be a good logical reason why you should be freaking out. Why you should. I mean, there was a lady, and I hope this lady's watching. I don't know her name, but I hope somebody gets to her and leads her to Christ. She was in Claiborne Hills, hollering out. Of course, it was packed. Y'all better get all you can, because they shutting down all the grocery stores tomorrow. I mean, and she kept hollering it, till finally one of my sons said, "Ma'am, they ain't doing that. Oh, you're young." And she said, "You're young, you don't know nothing." What she said to him. They gonna shut everything down. Well, they hadn't even done that in California, where they've shut everything else down. But California, if you go into the grocery store, you can go. Because they don't want to feed everybody. I mean, but fear makes you irrational. Fear keeps you. I mean, think about it. One man stood off a whole army. There was no way one man could defeat the whole army. But he had them all in fear, and so they decided, we can't fight. They were neutralized. But if you get a heavenly perspective, understand, look, you know, there'll always be a reason. There'll always be somebody. There'll always be a reason not to. Get a heavenly perspective. I'm not providing for my family. The Lord is. The Lord takes care of my family. I'm a tither. Man, he's going to rebuke the devourer for me. We going to eat. Amen? I think it is hilarious that toilet paper has become the big issue. I mean, that is hilarious. I mean, if you ain't got nothing to eat, you're not going to need toilet paper. I mean, that should be, I mean, it blows my mind. Look, if you're that desperate, call me. I'll bring you a roll. Do you understand? You got to get a heavenly perspective. Last thing, he testified to what he knew. I hope you do this. He began to tell the king his testimony. Man, one time a bear came, took one of my little lambs. And I went after it and killed it and got back my lamb. Which speaks of the New Testament going out. He said, there was this lion. And I defeated that. He started testifying to himself and to others. He started testifying. I hope today, sometime today, you parents will tell testimonies of how the Lord came through. What the Lord has done. The different times that the Lord showed himself strong There are countless times in our lives the Lord came through and showed himself strong. Those testimonies, he began to testify. What separated David, he wasn't testifying of the devil and how big he was. He was testifying of what his God had done. You're not going to get no faith saying, oh, I hear it's going to be bad. Just stop talking about it. The news is talking bad enough about it already. Just stop talking about it. Go make a s'mores with your kid and laugh. But you need to testify of the goodness of the Lord. And he fought. He testified. He went with what he knew. I know God killed that bear. I know God killed that lion. He didn't take the king's armor because he didn't know that. I know how to fight, and I didn't fight in that. You've got to fight your own battles. And when you do that, courage comes from knowing God is faithful and trustworthy. Courage comes. Courage comes. That you can stand in the midst, make prayer lines and say, we're going to pray for you. Courage to help somebody else because you're not worried about yourself. You're worried about somebody else being taken care of because you know God's going to take care of me. We're going to be all right. Let me tell you something. Resurrection life is not this building. It's a, you know, I hate to quote a Marvel movie. It's not a building. It's a people. Resurrection life, the church of Jesus Christ is going to go on whether we ever meet in a building anymore. They ain't going to stamp it out. And so right now, first of all, if you don't know Christ, I want to just tell you right now that Jesus Christ loves you. And if you would just bow your head, if you want to get saved right now, if you want to give your heart to Christ, I would love for you just to bow your head. And he says, if you will call unto me, I will answer. So I want you just to say right now, dear Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life and save me. Be my Savior and Lord. I repent of my sins. I turn towards you. And right now, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and save me and make me your own. God, I give you my life. Now, if you did that for the first time, I want you to contact us. Email us, call, contact us and let us know so we can get some stuff to you and somebody can meet with you and pray. But right now, as a family, I ask you to get the stuff ready for the Lord's Supper. I want to minister the Lord's Supper to you because it is the covenant meal. It is why I can stand and laugh. It is why I can stand. I walked in Claiborne Hill and just hollering out things, trying to encourage people. It's why I can do that. I got a lot to take. I can't even get, according to the rules, I can't even get my family together. We're past 10. We got too many, according to the rules. But it's why I can trust the Lord with my future and their future. Not because I'm the preacher and that's what I'm supposed to say, but because of Jesus Christ and the covenant. So, if you would, pass out the bread to everybody in your home. And the ones, the praise team, they're here. We have some for you guys. Or Todd had some. So, we'll go on. I want you to hold the bread in your hand. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Are you hearing me? He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. His body was broken so ours could be healed. His body was broken so ours could be delivered. his body was broken. He was forsaken so we can say, I will never be alone. He gave his body so that we can know the joy of knowing the Father. So we remember, Lord, take and eat. Then he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Because this new covenant, God's my dad. He's going to take care of me. God loves you. He has a covenant that your enemies are now his enemies. If you will trust it and faith in it. Because fear makes us get out ahead of God and make bad decisions. But trust, Daddy is going to be okay. So because of that, we take and drink. Now I'd like for you to stand with me. If you're at home, I want you to stand up where you are. As a prophetic act, we're going to stand and pray together. Just hold out your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I stand, I pray over our people, Lord. I pray for our country, Lord. We stand in your covenant. We stand in your blessing. We stand in who you are. In your victory, we stand, Lord. And God, we claim victory over this corona. I ask you to let it die today, Lord. Let it dry up and die. God, I found out of the fact it's afraid, it doesn't like sunlight. God, how prophetic is that? God, it doesn't like the light of the sun. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, we ask for victory. I pray that fathers' hearts will be turned toward their children. That you'll use this time to heal families, Lord. You'll use this time to love on families. And they'll love each other. They'll learn to laugh together and cry together again, Lord. They'll learn to bless each other. God, heal marriages. And God, right now, we stand and can declare, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of this nation. You are Lord of our homes. You are Lord of this city. And Father, right now, I bless every person that is standing right now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.